You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Obviously, in the ideal world, it would be good to get 22 lawsuits behind him. But as to whether or not there's going to be one depends upon all kinds of circumstances that we're not even willing to consider right now. There are no settlement conversations going on. We're focusing on dealing with the NFL and their investigation, and we're not even going to think about anything, possible settlements, until that's concluded.
That was Deshaun Watson's lawyer, Rusty Hardin, on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland on either May 24th or May 23rd. You hear him say there, no conversations about settlements have taken place. And with Josh Beard sitting in for Vanessa Richardson, we do have an update on that front. It looks like Deshaun Watson is settling, and settling a lot. The statement that reads courtesy of Tony Busby, who is the attorney for 20 of the 24 civil suits that are settling right now on this day right here. My computer's loading the statement. Today, I announced that all cases against Deshaun Watson, with the exception of four, have settled. We are working through the paperwork related to those settlements. Once we have done so, those particular cases will be dismissed. The terms and amounts of the settlements are confidential. We won't comment further on the settlements or those cases. Before we get your reaction on it, Josh, going a little bit further, there are still some cases that are moving forward. Ashley Solis and three other plaintiffs. Said Busby as he continued to read the statement, Ashley Solis is one of the heroes of this story. Her case has not settled, and thus her story and that of the other three brave women will continue. I look forward to trying these cases in due course, consistent with other docket obligations in the court's schedule.
He's trying everything he can to lessen his punishment. That's exactly what it is. I don't know if anything new and crazy is coming out. I think everything that, for the most part, that we know happened, other than maybe more cases could have popped up or something like that. But he's trying to do everything he can to lessen the punishment. I mean, we've heard the NFLPA was preparing to fight against unprecedented punishment for Deshaun Watson. We heard 2 days ago or a day ago that there were rumors that the NFL was preparing, or Watson's camp was preparing, for a year-long suspension. Maybe it was even longer than that, and maybe the settling on these cases can help his appeal to drop it down to a year, or if it is a year-long suspension, drop it to less than a year. And look, man, my instant reaction to that is I hate it so much in my soul. In my gut, I hate that he can just settle. It's good for these women with these cases, but I hate that he can just settle, and I know it's going to help alleviate his punishment, and it's going to help alleviate his suspension. I've been very clearly on record as to he needs a 2-year suspension, minimum. If the precedent, people have said unprecedented punishment for Deshaun Watson. We do have a precedent for that. It was Ben Roethlisberger got 6 games for 2 civil cases before. That's 3 games per civil case. Well, let's do a little math. 24 times 3, that is the minimum punishment Deshaun Watson should get for having those civil cases.
That would be a very long suspension.
Yeah, and that's why I say minimum 2 years. I think if there's precedent for this, it should be 3 games for each one of those civil cases. But I'm glad there's at least 4 that haven't settled yet to keep this on the NFL's minds. That way he gets the punishment that he deserves. I prefer to never see him play an NFL game again. We've talked about this ad nauseum with a bunch of different cases where, like, people are like, well, don't you want to give somebody a second chance? It's a second chance to be a good person. It's not a second chance
second
to necessarily
chance in life, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a second chance to be a good person,
to
do the right thing.
To play football.
Exactly.
How about don't be a jackass?
Exactly. And so those second chance people are going to come out. My second chance isn't to be able to be a professional football player and a highly paid, fully guaranteed contract quarterback anymore. My second chance is just to not force women into doing something that they don't want to do, and use your power and position to force them into that. He's just trying to alleviate what the NFL is about to dish out.
You're disgusted by it. I don't blame you. I'm not going to lie, though. I'm reveling a little bit in the fact that, okay, finally, we are seeing them exposed. Whether it's Rusty Hardin, who was denying the idea of a possible settlement for a long period of time, or Deshaun Watson, who I remember had his press conference in March, made this snide little comment of, well, I can't talk about anything right now because it's an ongoing investigation, but at some point, I will share my story. BS, you will. This was Deshaun Watson last week, if I'm not mistaken, when he finally did meet with the Cleveland Browns media after essentially being hidden from them from that opening introductory press conference in March to June.
Like I said, I just wanted to clear my name and be able to tell, let the facts and the legal procedures continue to play out. So right now, that's all I'm doing is want to clear my name and be able to let all the facts come out in the court of law and be able to focus on that.
I want all the facts to come out, but I'm going to make sure that none of them come out of court because I am going to, pay a large sum of money.
And all of those women are going to have to sign very extensive NDAs.
I would think so.
Yeah, they're going to have to. You don't settle without NDAs. It sounded at the end, I got a little, I twitched a little bit because it sounded like he said, let all the fats get out. And that's very hurtful to me as a larger human being. But he did say facts.
He did say facts.
But
there.
Look, we're not going to hear anything about these settlements. Somebody in the twitch.tv/ESPN/ESPN975 said it's $150,000 to $350,000. My God, I hope they didn't settle for only that much. I would feel like it would need to be a little bit more than that, but we're not going to find the figures. We're not going to know the details. We're not going to find out why. And that, I think that's, we don't really need to know. I get it. I understand. But I think for a lot of NFL fans, especially the ones here in the city of Houston who have had to deal with the Deshaun case for so long, we'd like to know a little bit more. We'd like to know a little bit more of the details.
A year ago, we found out that Watson allegedly offered $100,000 to settle each lawsuit, but his money, was rejected. That money was rejected.
Yeah.
So I would think that it would be significantly more than that. And honestly, with that big contract that he got, I mean, Tony
Fully
Busby,
guaranteed.
Shoot for the sky. Seriously. I mean, assuming that you're going to be able to get all of that money, which I feel like is a pretty safe assumption to make, the NFL Players Association is going to fight back very hard against the NFL potentially trying to make it so that Deshaun Watson doesn't see all of the money on that contract. And of course the Browns, they set up the contract in a way where I think that Watson is only due $1 million in salary the first year of his contract. So say he were to be suspended for the whole year. It's like $1 million worth of salary. It's $1 million worth of game checks. There is a large sum of money that is to be had here. And I assume that part of the big compensation that Watson was willing to take from Cleveland when it seemed like Cleveland was out of the race was because he knew that this was a day that was going to come eventually.
You know what I hate? And I feel like Cleveland has gotten some pushback. I feel like they've gotten some flack. Every single person in the front office who made the decision to give him that contract the way it was structured, and I understand you trade for the guy, you have to try to keep him around, you're all in on the guy, which feels disgusting in and of itself. But the way they structure the contract to try to get out of if it is a year-long suspension, it makes me disgusted at the franchise, and I feel like that they should be getting a lot more hate than they have been getting so far.
I'm with you there, but I get it. I get it with the Browns. They're a desperate team looking to get a quarterback.
Right. That's fair, I guess.
What I hated, and I actually heard one of them talking on one of my favorite podcasts, the Around the NFL podcasts,
right.
Ian Rapoport and Greg Rosenthal basically aired out their grievances about the coverage of it. And Ian Rapoport, Adam Schefter, they all acted like bootlickers the entire time. There's that Schefter tweet where he said, well, the Browns knew that this was what was going to happen all along. They knew that blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, dude, are you serious? You're just going to lick the boot of David Mulugeta, your Lord and Savior, your master? That's what drove me crazy. It was the ass-kissing of these agents who were able to finagle this. The only reason that this contract was able to be finagled, this had nothing to do with David Mulugeta's skill.
Right.
It's because the Browns are desperate losers and have been for their entire history.
And will continue to be.
Probably.
Yeah.
Although, we'll see. I mean,
Look, Deshaun is a transcendent player, at least for one more year. Hopefully for one singular year, it looks like they'll be desperate losers for one more year. And that'll help the Texans with their draft picks. But I know I'm going to have to watch Deshaun Watson on a football field again at some point. And it's wildly disappointing. But just chalk that up as just yet another instance of wild disappointment from the NFL doling out punishments to guys who probably don't deserve to play another football game.
No punishment yet, but I would imagine that the punishment is right around the corner if they're going to settle 20 of the 24 cases. That said, I think the only thing that could potentially change a possible suspension, it has to do with Ashley Solis, and it has to do with whether or not there's perhaps more bullets left in the chamber. Clearly, she does not want to turn this into a private matter.
Right.
I'm curious as to if there's any more information on her end. I am Paul Gallant. That is Josh Beard in for Vanessa Richardson on Vanessa and Gallant. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Deshaun Watson has settled in 20 of the 24 civil lawsuits against him for sexual misconduct. What's next from the NFL? A one-year suspension has to be the answer, right? We'll talk about that and your thoughts as well. 713-780-ESPN. It is ESPN Radio 97.5,
92.5. Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I imagine that we will see a suspension for Deshaun Watson by the end of the week.
Yeah, it's got to be soon.
I say suppose. I mean, it's very hard to make anything and feel very, very emphatic about it. Even on the same day that Ryan Spader was so emphatic that he thinks the New York Yankees are cheating with the baseballs. I feel like if 20 of the 24 are being settled, then the NFL can probably look at this through a prism of, oh, okay, so for the most part, this is all taken care of. Let's give out a suspension of some sort.
Yeah.
Now, I suppose that if we are looking at some sort of precedent as far as what's recently happened in the NFL, we would be looking at Antonio Brown and the way that they handled that when he was under investigation for sexual assault, and then that ultimately settled. It did seem like they waited until that decision had been made before they ultimately gave Antonio Brown an 8-game suspension, and that was just kind of hovering over him.
Right.
And then, of course, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they had brought him in already. But it took a while for that suspension to actually take place. I see no way, though, that the NFL let someone who is as just big of a figure in its league as Watson, I don't see them letting this just marinate without some sort of punishment, without some sort of like public lashing, because it will be discussed ad nauseum. And yes, there are Mike Tirico's out there on the broadcast who will never bring up something controversial over the course of a game call, but there are others as well who are going to be pointing at this, and probably you'll hear the disgust in their voice as they talk about this guy who is under center. You can't do a game broadcast without bringing up Deshaun Watson and everything that took place this offseason,
right,
and just the entire last two-year saga. You can't do it. You didn't see him on the field last year. This year will be different.
Somebody just brought it up. This is a great point. How sad is it that four cases seems like not a lot of cases?
Like for sexual assault.
For sexual assault, right? Like, we're at the point now to where the NFLPA is going to – their case for Deshaun Watson to defend him just got so much better with him settling 20 cases. Because 20 – he had 24 –
less details are going to come out.
Yeah, 24 sexual assault cases. Less details for sure are going to come out. And now the NFL is going to look at this and be like, well, it's only four cases now. 20 of them settled, and it makes it seem like it's alleviated so much for Deshaun Watson. And the fact that we're at a point to where four cases seems almost trivial comparatively is just very sad.
I don't think it does, and I think that the NFL also knows it doesn't. It doesn't. And
I hope so.
You can't just look at this and say, oh, okay, this is just four. This is a lot better. No, it's bad. This has been going on for a very, very long time. And if they're going to act as if this just now all goes away immediately, they're crazy. Now, the sad thing is it will eventually all go away and we won't talk about it. I mean,
yeah,
Kobe Bryant passed away and we're all of a sudden not allowed to talk about what took place in Colorado.
Right.
You know, Ben Roethlisberger, and that is not discussed a whole lot with Roethlisberger's career. And I know that a lot of people would get worked up whenever you would bring up, hey, here's an athlete who did something, and you would basically just kind of shrug your shoulders at Ben Roethlisberger.
Kareem Hunt's still in the league, and people are discussing whether or not they should trade for him in Dynasty because he's in a contract year and could go to another team, right? Like, we have, as sports fans, we have very short memories.
Yeah, we do.
Very short memories.
Ugh. How long do you think it'll be until this totally fades into the background? Because even with the suspension will be discussed every single time the Browns are first under center. And you also have the awkward quarterback situation in Cleveland right now where, okay, if Watson's suspended a year, now all of a sudden Baker Mayfield is back in the news. And Baker Mayfield, I think every single time his name will be brought up, so would Watson's.
I can tell you exactly when it's going to go away.
Okay.
The first time he goes and throws a 300-yard game.
300 yards, that's it.
The first time he goes, he gets back on a football field, and he goes and throws a 300-yard game. Because then people aren't going to talk about 24 cases Deshaun Watson. They're not going to talk about settled or suspended Deshaun Watson. Maybe in the fact that he hasn't played in 2 years. The first time he goes out and throws for a 300, or just has a great game in general, right? The first time he goes and throws 300 yards, three touchdowns, 0-1 interceptions, fantasy owners are happy, NFL fans are happy. I think there will definitely be a lot of people who will still look at it and be like, ugh, gross, I don't want him to be good. But I think the discussions, that's going to be the first moment people are going to be talking more about his play on the field than they're going to be talking about everything that happened with him. And that's what happened with Roethlisberger. It's what happened with Kareem Hunt.
True.
It's what happened with Tyreek Hill.
With Roethlisberger, though, different era.
That's fair.
Totally different era. Hill, Kareem Hunt, Hill is now, profile-wise, as big as a Deshaun Watson. When he was in college at Oklahoma State, that's where that took place,
right.
And he got kicked out. And, there was a moment in time where we heard, I think, audio of him in an interaction with his the mother of his child, and it sounded awful. But there wasn't anything new there.
What about Joe Mixon?
The Mixon one was bad, and I believe...
He got drafted, and he came out hot as a rookie, and nobody even thought twice about Joe Mixon punching a chick at a restaurant anymore.
Which was on film.
Which was on film. We saw it. And how many times have we talked about, sadly enough, on
Mixon's...
film is way worse than just hearing. But nobody talks about Joe Mixon anymore. Why?
Because
he's a productive member in the NFL who gets people fantasy points, and he helps his team win. Dude just went, like, the Bengals were so good. Just went all the way with his team, and nobody talked about Joe Mixon.
Isn't it easier, though, to forget about it with a guy like Joe Mixon, who,
yes
is a good
fair.
Player, but he's a running back. I don't think he's as forward-facing as Deshaun Watson, because Watson, okay, I'm not going to go so far as to say this is like an O.J. Simpson-esque transformation because there have been no deaths, but at the same time, this was a guy that everyone idolized. This is somebody who was put up on a pedestal because of the fact that during Hurricane Harvey, he was donating his game check to cafeteria workers with the Texans. He is a guy who was at Clemson, who was loved by everyone at Clemson. Who disliked Deshaun Watson in college outside of people who maybe went to South Carolina or other random ACC schools? He beat Alabama in a national title. There was a lot to like about him. And also then think about how there's a lot of players from Clemson who are men of faith, if you will. I think it's a little weird the way that their program operates, and that does seem like it's kind of like forced religion on some of these kids. But whatever, Watson was the essentially role model that comes out of this school, who goes to play in the NFL, and who plays well. I think the fact that we saw him as one thing and we'll see him as something else forever will always mean that he's a part of it. And I would say, like with Michael Vick, not many people have forgotten what happened with Michael Vick and those dogs. And
right.
I don't know that Watson's as high profile as Michael Vick was, but I think it's a lot closer to that than he is to those running backs that we just talked about.
Look, I don't think anybody's ever going to forget, right? I don't think anybody's ever going to fully forget. Everybody's always going to remember everything that's gone on with Deshaun Watson over the last 2 years. But the perception and the conversation surrounding Deshaun Watson will immediately change as soon as he's productive on, from the time he starts being productive on the football field again until the time he is done being productive on the football field, that conversation is going to be done. The only thing we're going to hear about, because sadly, as sports fans, we care more about the production than we do about the person, from the time he starts putting up big numbers again to the time he's done in the NFL, that's all the conversation is going to be. Conversely, if he doesn't ever come back, and he's never like a good productive quarterback in the NFL, the conversation will be like he ruined his career. It'll always be based around this. But the second he starts putting up big numbers for people, until he stops doing that, the conversation, the perception will change. But as soon as he's done with the football field, I mean, we saw this with Ben Roethlisberger, the conversation about the civil case is going to come back up. We saw it with Michael Vick. He goes to the Eagles. He has productive years with Andy Reid. And then when he's done, the conversation about Michael Vick comes back up. But for the time that they were productive members of a football team putting numbers up on the field, people tend to not forget, but they specifically don't remember enough. And the perception and conversation around those players changes.
Maybe we're close to it. And it's just,
I think we are.
It's different.
I think there's a lot of people who are just tired of the conversation in general. And they're like, let's just move on and play football.
He is Josh Beard sitting in for Vanessa Richardson. I am Paul Gallant. It is Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You have thoughts on Deshaun Watson, who has apparently settled 20 of 24 lawsuits against him. Not all of them, but 20 of 24. Feel free to add them. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
The Astros' toughest stretch of the season begins tonight against the New York Mets. And as a nerdy sports historian, I want to know if you guys have all seen the 30 for 30 about the New York Mets that came out this past year.
I haven't.
You haven't? Okay. No. Sean Mapes, have you seen it?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So in 1986, the Houston Astros and New York Mets played each other in the National League Championship Series. And it's prominently featured throughout the 30 for 30. It's actually like a very compelling rewatch because you get to see all of those Mets who were such characters, whether it's Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, Keith Hernandez, and all the other people who cover him. And of course, it's New York-centric, so it's a tad annoying. But more than anything, at some point, maybe over the next couple of weeks, I do want to go back and just rewatch the entirety of that 1986 series. And a question for you, both of you. Can you guess how many innings Game 5 was of that series?
Oh, I've actually heard people talk about this series before. I've heard, like, so my wife obviously grew up in Houston, massive Astros fan. Her whole family is. I've heard both my father-in-law and her grandfather talk about this series before. I'm going to say 13 innings.
Game 5 was 12 innings. Game 6, how many innings was it?
15 innings.
16 innings. That was
so
the clincher.
Close.
So, I mean, it was a series that was tied at 2 apiece, and then it went to 12 innings and 16 innings. It's probably like the most, probably the toughest battle that we've ever seen in a six-game series ever. Like, imagine a 16-inning series clincher.
No, thank you. So long.
Well,
Too much stress for too long of a time, I'd have a heart attack.
In today's baseball, yeah, my God, that's probably 8 hours.
And the sun would be coming up by the top of the 16th.
I got to give him credit for this 16-inning game and for the 12-inning game. The 12-inning game was only 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Wow.
And the 16-inning game was 4 hours and 45 minutes.
Wow.
I know. I'm just like, damn it. Why did we get so damn slow?
I thought you were going to say they only used like a combined like 5 pitchers or something in those two games.
That's insane because one of the games that Texas A&M played against TCU in the Super Regionals was like 5.5 hours, and I was up until midnight, and it only went 9 innings.
What?
It was a 9-inning game. 5.5 hour, 9-inning game.
Was there a rain delay?
No. That just took forever. It just took a real long time, and I was very tired that night. 16 innings, 4.5 hours is insane.
What sucks about this series is that the Astros were up 3-0 in the top of the ninth of Game 6. And, they blew that. And then in the as the game continued, obviously, things did not go their way. But if you watch that 30 for 30, and I'm sorry I'm going ad nauseum about it, because I am fascinated.
No, I want to watch it. I actually want to watch it now.
You know, now that the Astros are in the American League, you don't see the Mets very often. But, I mean, this is one of, like, the most compelling series that I don't think it's discussed a whole lot. And you'll also hear how the Mets are constantly complaining about Mike Scott, who was an awesome pitcher for the Astros back then. And they accused him of like throwing dirty balls, like that he was scuffing up the balls.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like they're all bitching and moaning about him throughout that 30 for 30. Like, oh, Mike Scott, to the point that when I was like, knew I was moving back to Houston,
I was looking my hardest to find a Mike Scott jersey. So I was like, oh, somebody else that New Yorkers hate? Absolutely. This is, and it would be like a little bit more vintage and a little bit more hipster than like having the Nolan Ryan jersey. But all I could find was the Nolan Ryan jersey. So I just got that.
Yeah, this is actually a real, I think out of this entire stretch, this is the series that I'm most excited for. Because I've randomly come across new friends in my life across a couple of different platforms that are big Mets fans. And so there's like a little bit of rivalry between us and them right now going on. But it's they do have a really good young mostly young talented team, but that pitching staff is insane. And how often do we get to talk about the Mets being actually good? Patrick Creighton isn't Patrick Creighton PC's a Mets fan, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah. So I think he was like my first introduction when I met him, my first introduction to a Mets fan. So I'm like, "Oh, those exist. That's weird." But
they
now
are
they're actually
tortured.
They are.
I went to college with a lot of them, and I got to say, like if there's one that you know cares about the sport more than the other, Mets fans care way, way more.
Really?
They do. Oh my God. They live and die with that team. But it's
I guess
just
you have to like to
over and over again.
To continue to be a Mets fan, you have to really live and die for baseball and for that team.
I mean, their team was implicated in a Ponzi scheme. So like this goes to show you what being a Mets fan is all about. I mean, and look, I know, and Ron Field, I get it, but like this is a team that even when it was so good in 1986. All those guys were doing so much blow that it didn't last that much longer.
Right.
Like, it just fell apart. Like, you know, Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry, who are these, like, two phenomenal talents. Like, it just goes to bleep. Yeah, they care a lot more. So, I'm not going to act as if I'm going to hate on the Mets for these next couple of games. You can hate them for 1986. I think that's 100% valid. But it's, like, nowhere close to the Yankees. There's a part of me that really just wants to get to the Yankees series right now. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
So
you're not even intrigued by this series at all?
Oh, I am intrigued by this series.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I think it'll be very compelling. But there's a part of me that, like, I've wanted to see the Astros take on this Yankees team.
That's true.
This historic Yankees team that has, I think only three teams have won more games more quickly than this Yankees team has won this year.
With their juice balls, yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Per our guy who was on earlier today. How am I forgetting?
Ryan Spader, yeah.
Thank you. I mean, that's the most exciting part of this series. And it's going to be a tough stretch. This team can't hit to the same degree that they used to in the past. It's not to say that they are completely without life, but they do need a little Viagra right now in that lineup or whatever, eugenics. Ladies, she's going to love it too. You know, like Frank Thomas in those commercials. They need something right now.
Yeah.
They can just use Frank Thomas.
They could. Frank Thomas would be great.
Why not? You know, get Doug Flutie out here while you're at it. I want to see this team hit, but specifically in two spots with two guys that have been so reliable in the past. Alex Bregman, what's going on? Yes, he's had long slumps over the course of his career. He had a long slump to open his career with the Houston Astros. But what the bleep is going on? I need to know. And I'm tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. Oh, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Well, no, these nine games right now, that is how I'm going to determine whether it can get better by the end of the year.
Yeah.
These nine games, you need to start slugging like we've seen you in the past. We haven't seen you hitting to any degree this year. And with Yuli Gurriel, I think that's totally fine. With Alex Bregman,
it's not totally fine.
Got to start tonight.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the biggest names on the team. He needs to be batting like he's one of the biggest names on the team. He needs to be earning that contract, and he hasn't been. He's had a better stretch this month, but he needs to be earning that contract. I talked earlier about how I just want to see the pitching be consistent. That was in the macro level. In the micro level, I specifically just want to see Justin Verlander dealing on Saturday. I love the fact that we got to a point to where we get the JV versus Cole matchup. I'm very, very excited about that. And so I just want to see Justin Verlander come out and deal to the Yankees. Like, they don't have a shot. They can't touch the ball. They can't hit the ball. That's what I want to see more specifically from pitching in that game. I want to see Verlander out on top.
Cole almost threw a no-hitter yesterday, by the way, against the Tampa Bay Rays, who are never a slouch, though I think record-wise this has not been the best year for the Tampa Bay Rays. Whatever the case, Cole is pitching well. This is not like the Gerrit Cole who everyone was looking at and saying, oh, spider tag. Like,
yeah.
You know, like he hasn't been the bit of a train wreck that he was for a couple of months.
No, I wanted to see him continue to be a train wreck, right?
I mean, so I do too.
I was so excited that he was just like, oh, look, Gerrit Cole sucks. Interesting. losers, but now he's good and he's doing good things. He's still, I think he's still a little up and down though. Like he'll have a good game and then he'll have a bad game. He'll have a good game, then he'll have a bad game. So he's not an abject failure like he was at the beginning of the season, but he's not consistent with his starts.
There's something about his face that just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, there always has been. He
there's this look, and I can kind of understand why maybe he rubbed people the wrong way.
It's
when
a
he
very
was in
punchable face. Very punchable face.
Especially without the beard.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was punchable with the beard, but without the beard, it's like unbearable.
He was tolerable with the beard. I could at least tolerate his dumb face, but now I can't. Now it's just pure, unadulterated, beardless dumb face.
You know, maybe the Yankees should, like, add some facial hair into the equation and not like the ridiculous mustaches that some of them like sport, because maybe they would look less annoying, right? Like
maybe
they would look less hateable right from the get-go. Maybe that's part of their deal, that they need everyone in their clubhouse to be completely clean shaven.
I want all of them to stay clean shaven except for Aaron Judge. He's the only one that grows a beard. Could you imagine seeing Aaron Judge with a beard? I don't even know if it's possible for him to grow a beard. But I think he'd look weird with a beard.
He does. He would look a little weird with a beard. Yeah, I can't imagine it.
Yeah. He'd look strange. That's why I want only him to have a beard and nobody else to have one on the team.
I'm kind of grossed out that just went through my brain right
now. Yeah, I'm going to do a photo. I'll do a little Photoshop work and text it to you later.
Please don't.
I'm going to Photoshop Aaron Judge with a beard and send it to you.
He is Josh Bearden for Vanessa Richardson. I am Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, we would be remiss if you did not hear what Draymond Green was doing at the Warriors Championship Parade yesterday. It was amazing. You'll hear it next.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Before we get to Draymond Green, just resetting one more time that Deshaun Watson, per Tony Busby, has settled 20 of 24 of the civil lawsuits against him. We will see if the NFL decides to hand out a lengthy suspension in the coming days. There are still some lawsuits, including that of Ashley Solis, that are still progressing, as described by Tony Busby, but a marked change, Josh Bearden, for Vanessa, considering this is a guy that said that he was looking to clear his name and that his lawyer, Rusty Harden, about a month ago said that this was not even something they were thinking about settling.
I mean, they've been so adamant the entire time that there'd be no settling whatsoever. That's been their stance the entire time. I mean, we had Rusty Harden coming out and saying things about, like, talk about what is illegal and not illegal. It's not illegal to make somebody feel uncomfortable. Like, they've been very staunchly opposed to settling, and they really wanted to see this through. So this is a really it's a complete 180 out of nowhere. Obviously, there's probably something that happened or something going on, or they found out exactly what the punishment would be if they didn't do something. So that's probably why there was a 180, but they've been telling us for a year there's not going to be a settlement.
Exactly. And okay,
now there's 20 of them. Like, the fact that it wasn't even progressive, right? It's like, by the way, 20 cases have been settled. It's like, what? Out of nowhere. It's all of them almost.
There's so much just full of it in the world. And there are times, too, where, like, I'll be scrolling mindlessly on Instagram, not even realizing that I've just wasted away, like, an hour. And I thought to myself, you know what? Because someone did the twitch.tv/ESPN975 had said a little bit earlier, I wonder if Deshaun Watson has put any tweets out with these settlements done.
Yeah.
Well, his tweets are private now, so I honestly don't know. But on Instagram, I decided to go on it to see, like, what's Deshaun Watson's Instagram like? Is there something on his Instagram story? And I just couldn't help, Josh, but see the car crash that is his posts and, like, the comments underneath it. And I legitimately wanted to throw myself out the window when I saw them. I was just like, this world is so stupid and terrible, entirely based off of Deshaun Watson's Instagram profile, where here's a caption. He's, like, looking at his phone on a plane. I can barely get peas hardly. Talk like they all in, I see. All these people just want to scheme. I just want to be 4-0. which I guess is like love or something like that. And then I'm just reading all the comments. Be you and just groove, my friend, says Made for the Camera. D, it's called spiritual warfare. Sadly, the enemy is always prowling. Keep your chin up. Focus on God's truth and promises. He's the one in control. My prayers have never stopped. Hang in there, my friend. Always stay firm and focused, said Bishop B. Firm. On your path. You can only do what's best for you, champ. Much peace and blessing. Keep it going. So I read these, and I'm like, where the hell are all the negative comments? I want to see some filth. I want to see some people just being absolutely horrible monsters to him online. And then I noticed that all the comments have been restricted.
This is why I say I think it's going to be a lot easier for people to forget at a certain point than some of us want to realize or some of us want to understand. We're in a day and age right now where we only really want to consume videos that are 30 to 60 seconds long. How often do you see a video and you're like, oh, a minute and a half? Nope, moving on.
My Instagram Reels has randomly popped up with 2 14-minute videos in the last couple of days. And they're
will not do it.
And I'm like, where is this coming
from? Won't do it.
Like, just because I was in Los Angeles this weekend, all of a sudden, some of these videos are, like, I'm getting, like, every terrible wannabe actors, like, reels, which are just, like, 14-minute, like, awful short stories. God.
Well, we used to talk about long-form content. Like, in content creation, we used to talk about long-form videos being 5 minutes or more. The terminology and the definition of long-form content's changing to where now long-form content is anything over a minute and a half. 90 seconds or more is considered long-form video now because we're just squirrels. We're squirrels running around going, oh, look at that video. It's a baby. It's a kitten. Look at that car crash. Like, that's what we're doing. And so now we're going to forget about this because Deshaun Watson's going to put a persona out there. All negative comments are going to be screened. None of them are going to get out there. It's only going to be positive comments. I guarantee you at least one or two of those comments are either him on burner accounts or people that he knows – that have burner accounts that are posting those comments.
Listen, we all know he's going, you know, the legal system is what it is when you got a lot of money. But, like, can't Deshaun Watson at the very least experience the worst part of the internet? Like, is that too much to ask for some sort of, like, quasi-punishment? I don't know.
That's the first time I agree with Elon buying Twitter. No wonder he blocked his account. Like, I'm totally fine with it. I want Deshaun Watson to feel all the hatred in the world right now.
Speaking of all the hatred in the world right now, Draymond Green, he exudes that towards everybody and was in rare form at the press conference. Was it a press conference at the end of the parade?
Yeah, you know how parades go, Paul. They have, you know, a moment where they hand out the microphone. They all get to talk to the crowd.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you're a fan of teams that win anything, but being an Astros fan, I remember that's how it went.
Wow, interesting, Sean. That's a little
shade out of nowhere.
Well, I didn't need to be reminded.
You just acted like you didn't know what a championship parade was like.
Maybe I'm a little bitter. Maybe I don't want to watch the championship parade of a team that just beat my favorite team. Whatever, fine.
Well, if Jason Tatum had that dog in him, then he wouldn't have even had to worry about it. But he
for
didn't
real.
Have that dog in him.
Should have texted Kobe.
100.
Oh. On God. No cap. I screwed up on no cap. NGL 100. Here's Draymond Green at the celebratory press conference.
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, everybody else. I love y'all.
I love that.
And there's even more too, where Draymond was talking in great detail, like actually about like some words of wisdom, which I appreciated. But Draymond continuing throughout the press conference saying, "Yeah, I'm gonna go online and troll people now." Like, I like that he is who he is still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that. This is what I want to see for the end of Draymond's career, right? Because we're getting closer to the end of his career. He's not skilled enough to continue doing what he's doing at a high level and getting paid as much as he is. At some point, sooner rather than later, he's going to be gone. But I feel like he's going to have like a real Ron Artest end of his career where he's just going to go to like one other team and just be annoying, help them be successful and continue to be him. I want to see him give the worst of what he is back to the Warriors whenever he plays. Could you imagine, like, if Patrick Beverley talked about the Clippers and was petty about the Clippers not re-signing him, was petty about Chris Paul? Could you imagine if the Warriors ever opt to not re-sign Draymond Green and they let him walk and he goes to another team? I want to see Draymond versus the Golden State Warriors because I love, we talked about this yesterday. I want to see more trash talk. I want to see these players
I don't think he
be
would,
more open with it. And I love it.
I don't You know what? I think that is the one bridge he would never burn.
Oh, I think he would. Yeah. I absolutely. If he were like, I want to stay here, pay me, and they're like, no, you're not good enough, we're not paying you the money, I think he would absolutely burn that bridge. You don't think so?
I think that's the one line. Every man's got to have a code. There's got to be one line he won't cross.
That's fair, because even with Patrick Beverley, he won't cross that line with the Rockets.
At least on the court, you would want him to talk. Because yeah. Patrick Beverley on the court, when you'd play against Harden, he'd play against the Rockets, would get up in his grill and would bark at him. That's all we want. We just need Draymond to have like a playoff series when he's on like Minnesota or yeah. something.
And he's just bullying them, and then he runs yeah. over to the scorer's table and
he's
jumps
yelling
up.
At Jonathan Kuminga.
I don't even want it to be Minnesota. I want it to be like the Charlotte Hornets.
Sacramento.
Or the Sacramento basketball Kings. Hell. Yeah, yeah.
In November.
Just say you wanted him to go to basketball hell.
Yeah, I want him to go to basketball hell and just be a nuisance from there.
All right, let's wrap this thing up with some garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Per the Daily Mail, Amber Heard has the most beautiful face in the world. It's scientifically proven. Her face is found to be 91.85% accurate to the Greek golden ratio of beauty phi, which for thousands of years was thought to hold the secret formula of perfection. She was tested back in 2016. For this, she is followed by Kim Kardashian and Kate Moss.
Have you ever put your face into the golden ratio to see what you would look like if you had a golden ratio face or how close your face is to the golden ratio?
It would look very weird in the eyebrow department.
I think
one of my eyebrows is slightly bigger than the other one.
You'd be fine. I end up looking like Sloth from the Goonies. Like,
what's wrong with that?
It's real.
Sloth from the Goonies? Heartthrob, right?
Yeah.
Heartthrob?
He had his
baby
heart throbbing on his
Ruth.
Face.
Yeah. Baby? Should I just come in here and ask for Baby Ruth? Yeah, I'm not even close to the golden ratio. There's nothing more hurtful than trying to do the golden ratio and see how off kilter one side of your face is versus the other. Here's the thing with Amber Heard having the perfect face. I don't care if her face matches the golden ratio. I can't do the facial expressions that she had all throughout that freaking trial and in the interview that she did afterwards. She's got her eyes all the way up in the air and her yeah. one side of her mouth is all the way down like she's
hot.
A stroke victim. She's like, hot. Ugh,
she has no. the most perfect face in the world. It's number one. It's over Kate Moss randomly being there or something else, but also over that of Emily Ratajkowski and Kendall Jenner. So, I mean, it's science.
Objectively, well, Kendall.
We're pro-science on this show, John.
Here's the thing. Kendall Jenner's face, I want to know how close to the golden ratio it was before she had it doctored into being closer.
They doctored it well.
To the golden. They did doctor it well. I will say,
they doctored it.
Objectively, Amber Heard is.
I would never say that about Kendall, though.
It's very attractive. She's very attractive, but I just can't do it. She looks. She has crazy eyes, Paul.
Just because she lost out in a lawsuit does not mean she is no longer the most beautiful woman in the world.
Crazy
eyes. You just
eyes.
Don't get it. Crazy eyes are not always a bad thing. That's going to wrap up today's edition of Vanessa and Gallant. Big thanks to Josh Beard filling in the last 2 days. He will be back in for me on Thursday. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Vanessa's back tomorrow. So long. Farewell. The Killer Bees are next right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.